Welcome to Real Talk, Real Women, Breaking the Silence Around Abuse. I am Gemma Serenity Gorokoff, your host, and today we have Orphis Rodriguez joining us. Thank you so much for being here, Orphis. Thank you.
Gemma, it's such a pleasure to be on your show. Thank you so much for the invitation.
Absolutely. So here on Real Talk, Real Women, we are talking about the stuff that hurts and the stuff that is important to break the silence around, because nobody is ever alone. Because when you walk in hell, even hell has a border. So keep on walking, right? So tell us a little bit your story. What kind of abuse did you overcome? And before that, how do you serve people today? What is your role in the professional sphere?
Again, thank you, Gemma. So my name is Orphis Rodriguez, and I'm based in Switzerland, in the French part of Switzerland. If you know a little bit this country, it's a beautiful country that I've been growing up here for a while. And what I do now, I'm an HR consultant and a career coach. I decided to start my own business because of a toxic work environment, just simply put. I couldn't take it anymore. And as a Black woman in this country, with the personality and entrepreneurial mindset, it's not always easy to get by and to have a foot in the company for promotions, for advancement. And I just needed to create my own destiny and create my own chances. Yeah.
I really congratulate you on your journey, because one of the reasons why I left Switzerland was also because there was no generally accepted idea that entrepreneurship can be at any age. I remember it's like you get to 50 years old and then, sure, you have enough experience to start your own business. So when you have that entrepreneurial mindset in Switzerland, it's hard because you are not being believed. And then indeed, Black women, even less. So tell us a little bit about what happened in your work environment. What kind of abuse did you go through?
I'm so glad that you actually share your experience with Switzerland, because it's, like I said, it's a beautiful country, but still there are narrow-minded mindsets here. We are not so ready for change, and we're still into tradition, and people are so used to being employees for companies. They're not the successful scenario for you is, you know, to have a 9-to-5 job with a top employer. And even if you have to work 45 hours a week, it's okay, because you have the money per se, or the status. So there's no employee well-being as a, as a talk. Even though I'm an HR specialist and I work as a human resources specialist, we're still so far behind on well-being in companies here. And so what I do is I consult companies as an external agent, because I feel that when I work for the company, I'm not able to actually advise in the best way possible, because there's a this fear and of hierarchy of position. And in my abuse, in my situation, my employer, my boss, was a French woman who was not actually ready for speaking up for herself and speaking up for our HR team. And it wasn't just in this position, it was in other positions as well. Where you find HR directors even who are just, playing the game, playing along with expectations from above, but they don't actually play their part as an HR agent. And so, I feel that I have more opportunity to help companies and employees as an independent. And that's why I also launched a podcast addressed for managers, leaders, in all, and address all these HR practices, all the HR topics like well-being strategy, like burnouts, like preventing abuse at work, mobbing, harassment, sexual harassment as well. All these, you know, topics that are important. And also as a recruiter as well, I find that the expectations that people have to hire staff are not always realistic, and they're not always aligned with ethics, right? And so I really want to point out these problems.
It is a real problem indeed. And you really understood how to address it in a way that can be effective. So question for you, what happened in your own experience that made you drop the ball? Because there is, I mean, going through abuse, I have gone through abuse too. I mean, we know how it goes. You just keep up with it. You You continue through it one day after another. You just continue. It's like a marathon, and you just keep on going. There is a moment when you just say, "Stop, no more." What happened to you when that moment happened?
Well, you know, I actually I had health problems as well. So my partner and I, we've been going through a lot of, you know, personal stuff. And my health was also at risk. And I was going through this phase without the support from my hierarchy. Like I said, my boss was not really a good boss to me. And so when I realized that I had hit rock bottom was when I was at the hospital, and I was in shock, you know, with my computer. I was in the emergency room. Because I had to go surgery. I mean, they had told me like you possibly might have to go through surgery, you have to come here as up. And I was like, I don't know if I can do that, because I was leaving this abuse at work. I knew that they were expecting me to make a false move or something. And so I was like in the emergency room, and they're like, okay, we have to run some tests, you have to wait until we get the results. You shouldn't move. You shouldn't leave right now, because this is gonna, it's vital that, you know, you stay here if in case we have to go through an emergency surgery. And I was like, you know what? I have to go. I have to work. I have to go back to work. I cannot stay here. If I don't go back, I'm going to be in trouble, blah, blah, blah. Just send me back the results and I'll get back to you, and just, you know, call me and I will tell you. And so I went back to work, did my thing. In the middle of I had to go through an interview. And I was in the middle of my interview, and then I received another email with like a manager in my company who was literally just, you know, aggressing me by email because things didn't go the way she wanted to her. How she didn't want things to go the way she wanted. And I was just like in shock in my interview with a candidate, you know, because I was, looking for the right talent for this one of the managers. And I was just in shock because, you know, you have your Outlook and you see your email coming through, and I just saw the email and I was just like, you know, blunt. I went blunt and I was just like, okay, I have to finish this interview. I have to focus, just leave it alone. And so I went through the interview, and then I get out of the room and I talked to my boss, and I told her, you know, this is what happened. This is the email that I received, and this is coming from a director, you know, and she's literally just, you know, lashing out at me because she's angry, and she's just disrespectful of my work. And I just, I honestly, I don't think I can answer that email. And so at her reaction at first was like, ha ha ha, I mean, ha ha ha, I cannot believe, ha ha ha. And she was just laughing at it, instead of, acting like, this is wrong. And so she's like, okay, you know what? First she laughed, and then she said, you know what? Yeah, you're right. Just leave it alone. Let's go through the weekend, and Monday we'll see how it goes. And so I left that meeting. I left the company. It was a Friday, right? And thank God they called me. So the hospital called me up. I think it was Friday evening, and they told me that I had to go through an emergency surgery, like they anticipated. And so Saturday, I go. They tell me, yeah, you have to be, you have to, you have to fast for the whole night, and you come with an empty stomach in the morning, and you'll have to stay in for one night, and we'll give you like a medical
Belief, yeah.
relief, like for a few days. I was like, well, I was just happy like that I was gonna be out of work for a few days because I just couldn't take it anymore. Except from the fact that I was going through this health situation, I was just happy that I could get away from work for a few days. So that's what I did. So I and then I so I was just happy. So I went to that into to the hospital, and I sent an email out the evening before I went, and I said, I'm gonna be out for a few days. I have an emergency surgery tomorrow, blah blah blah. So literally, when I realized that things were really bad, was that even though my health was at risk, I was still so worried about what would happen to me if I didn't go to work that I almost put my life at risk. You see what I mean?
So this is when you started to
Yes, I
think
started to
about
realize,
yourself.
like, oh my God. I mean, and so during the time that I was on my sick leave, I was already consulting with, I had already alerted the health specialist in my work that things were not going well at work, and that my boss was going was doing was you know was working behind my back, and that I couldn't she couldn't be trusted, and that I needed to find a way out. And I knew that I couldn't speak to my HR director because I knew that she had him also on her pocket, I don't know how you say it, in her favor.
Yeah,
So
in
I
favor.
so I knew I couldn't, I couldn't rely on my, I couldn't even go to my HR director, and I couldn't even go to the official lines of addressing abuse, because the person who was abusing me was in fact the person who received all the applications or all the complaints internally, because she was the HR manager who was literally in fact supposedly the health the health or
Whatever. Basically, the one
HR
responsible
or
for globally medical health related for every employee, also the one who receives all the claims, and also the one who is at the top of everything, meaning that if that person is not in your favor, you have a problem because you have nobody to talk to, basically.
yeah, I have nobody to talk to, because it's so it's a line where the company says, okay, if there's harassment, if there's abuse, if there's what, you should go through this change to this channel, right? And you know that there are three people in this channel who receive all the requests, and they should respond accordingly. But the same person who is part of
Chain
of
of
this
comment,
team is the one abusing me. So I'm like, okay, heck, I mean, where do I go? Nowhere. So I tried to ask for an external support. So I asked the health specialist to get me to put me in contact with an external consultant. And during this time that I was on sick leave, he met me close to my house, and he was like, I lay down everything. I brought some proof of emails of communication, and I mean, I didn't even I was looking for proof, you know, because in Switzerland the system is good at, you know. So I, and then the guy he was like, you know, you're in a shithole. I mean, if you cannot rely on your HR director, if you cannot rely on your boss, and they are the HR people who should help people in this situation, I don't think you can get out of it alive, you know. So he's like, just, you know, try to leave and just, you know,
quit your job,
your resignation, you know, send out your resignation.
Mm.
Yeah.
Yeah. There is a moment when sending out your resignation, quitting your job, is the only way out.
Yeah.
For that, you have to also get back that trust within you that you can not only find another job, but maybe create your own job, create your own future. And building that trust when you are that crushed in the workplace, it's not an easy feat. How did you go about that?
Honestly, the part after that was like harder than I expected, things didn't go exactly as I planned. So they used the time that I was away to even plot things out even worse. So it was like a mobbing situation, because it wasn't just my boss; it was that director. So they were working, you know, together, you know, I mean, 2 years, like you would say six months forward, like I can just say that the company paid for the damage in a way, not enough, because it's not like we're not in the US, okay, where you can ask for real damages. Here in Switzerland, the top that you can, the most that you can get out of an employer is actually 6 months.
Six months
of salary.
Your current salary. Even off the top of the no. You can get 6 months of salary as a top damage. Yeah.
So I mean, they paid 3 months because they paid 6 months in total, because I had 3 months of like sick leave, and you know, and I wasn't gonna get back. I wasn't gonna go back to that place.
No.
And while I was negotiating with the lawyer, so I got my lawyer a lawyer involved. And then they paid additional 3 months for the time of my release, you know. So you're like notice period. So you have a 3 months notice period. So they paid six months in total, 3 months for my sick leave and 6 months, 3 months for my notice period. So in the end, they paid the 6 months. And in addition to that, they paid also like for atteinte à la personnalité. So it's like
so all the hurt, all the personal hurt that you endured.
Yeah. Like a symbolic amount, but again, nothing like you could get in, like if you were in the US. Huh?
And there is two big difference between Switzerland laws for employment and US laws for employment. There is a few big difference. First of all, there is 1 week of vacation per year in US. You also have personal time. You also have, I mean, if you add up everything, you can have 2 to 3 weeks per year, including sick leave, including personal time, including holiday vacations. So that's, first of all, it's not like 4 weeks per year, up to five if you are young or old. Being super young, like 15 plus, is considered old. Pretty much amazing when you think about that. Anyway, so that is first of all. Then second of all, you have in the US, you give 2 weeks notice and you leave. You are never paid beyond the day you actually left. Never. That is a norm. In Switzerland, I think it was what? It was... during the first 3 months, you have like a short time. But then when you go beyond 1 or 2 years, you have already 2 months that you get paid once you get laid off. Mm-hmm. And then if you stay, I don't remember, it was 5 or 10 years. I don't remember exactly. Maybe it has changed over time. Then you can expect up to 3 or 6 months of regular pay, even though you do not work there anymore. So there is a lot of protection for the employee in Switzerland that you will never see in the US. However, in terms of monetary compensation for damage to the person, in Switzerland, it's tiny, mini, ridiculous, a few thousand dollars at most. Yeah. That is what you can go to million of dollars in the US when it is a consensual or a judge deciding it.
Or
decided by law.
Yeah, I don't know the labor law in the US, but since you know how it works in Switzerland, yes, of course, you know how things are. You can negotiate depending on how long you've been with the company, the notice period is equivalent. I had been there for 2 years. There are the minimum requirements of the law and there are additional benefits that the company gives you. And in my case, it was a 3 month notice period, not a 2 month period, not 2 months. Yeah.
Yeah. Amazing. So,
yeah.
At the same time, the reality of the toxic workplace is the same everywhere. And I heard too many times that Black women have it the hardest of all. I heard that many times over. I'm sorry about that. I heard that over and over again.
Mm-hmm. And so that's why a lot of my clients not surprisingly, a lot of my clients, 80% of my clients are actually Black women who come to me for career coaching because they feel they're not heard or they're not considered or not understood. And I wish, in a country like Switzerland, who is, where you find the heart of the UN headquarters, UN headquarters in Geneva, you would think that it's an international, true international country where there is more diversity and equity and inclusion. It's just all fake. And I see more and more people talking about racism here in the workplace. Even last week, I was just talking with a friend of mine who he's a Black man. He's been in this country for over 2 decades, and he's just so fed up, especially as an entrepreneur, because not only you suffer as an employee, because when you're an employee, you have to abide by the rules of the employer. And if the employer is actually abusive, you don't get so much protection from the local laws. But then when you're an entrepreneur, people don't instantly come to you for business. They would rather go to the local Swiss guy who sells the same product as you, even though his services are less good or more expensive or whatever. It's just because he's white or he's Swiss, he will be favored. And this has happened also for my partner. Like I told you, he's a farmer. He sells at the market he's growing organic food and quality food. And because he's from Spain, not local, he's losing the same type of treatment, we lived in the farm, we live in a farm, the farmer owner who been here doing the market at the farm for 40 years, he was allowed to do the market at the farm for 40 years. But when this person died and my partner comes in and asks for the same kind of business, they refuse. The commune, the local authorities, they refuse because they put an excuse that, there's not enough parking space and you're blocking the way. This is bullshit. I'm sorry for the word.
It's true. It's true.
It's not true because you have the neighbor who is doing the same kind of business. He's a farmer. He's selling at the farm. He has even less space than you for the parking, but he's allowed to sell at the farm. So it's not just a question of nation of local people. So it's, you can say, of course I understand you want to protect your country against former like foreigners in a way, like former products, because you want to protect your local industry and all that. But when you have people who are actually contributing to the economy and they're locally, they're growing locally, and you still make a difference between the Swiss and the non-Swiss, voila.
I know, it's crazy. Well, you are not alone in that kind of case. It's barely and roughly the same here in the US. It's not easier at all. However, there is more people and there is more opportunities. And when you start to go online, putting women-owned business or Black people-owned business and putting both, that becomes an asset because of all that pro-diversity, inclusion, and all of that, like GDI. Justice, equity, diversity, and inclusion. I believe that is. Mm-hmm. So that entire movement is coming. It's raising, but it's still low compared to the past to go. So when you go online, you have many more chances to get through that, showing your beautiful face, showing who you are, owning the space, knowing that the right people come to you. That is what I noticed over and over again with successful Black women-owned businesses that I also had on the show. You can just like go through it. There are some beautiful, amazing Black women that I have particular admiration because how much harder it is by societal norm. I did not do the norm. I'm breaking the silence around abuse. But I see that here. I saw that really against women, generally speaking, in Switzerland. Like men, good, women, under, lower, submitted, servant, and things like that. That I saw a lot. I did not really see racism between Black, white, or any other things. I saw a lot with simply someone who is different, not specifically Black or white, but really just different. Another country, another accent, another flavor, another different. That I saw a lot. And here in the US, there is a globally accepted, like everybody comes from everywhere. And then there are those specific situations that are being reported over and over again, that when you go in the deep reality of the person, you have to fight for yourself.
It's common knowledge in the US, that there is this stigma and there is this this separation between, white folks, Black women, like Black people. I mean, you even see it in movies. Here, you see it. I mean, you see a whole white cast and you see a whole white, whole Black cast,
And that's the case.
It's so known, And I think, but in the US, I think it's not a taboo.
It's not anymore.
It's a problem that is well known and that is talked about and that is a reality. But the problem with Switzerland is that it's taboo, and so people still are uncomfortable with the word racism when it comes to talking about racism against Black people or against Asians or what.
Or even other European countries.
Yes, even because they also have racism towards the French people, the ones who are just living at the border of Switzerland because they come and steal the job from the locals, and so it's a reality. Like for France, for example, we know that this is there, so it's just like a question of we don't want you to steal our jobs, okay, but there is another kind of racism with Black people. It's like we are this caste, like in India, there are castes and we are like the undercast or whatnot. And so, but it's still taboo. And so what I was telling you about my friend, he's been here like 20 years. He's a Black man. He's been living in this country for over two decades, like I said. And he's just so fed up. He said, okay, I'm an entrepreneur. Here, things are not moving forward. and I'm just gonna go and live in Spain, you know. And I remember when I went to a networking event, even a few weeks ago, a lady that I met there, she was from Sri Lanka, or I don't know, but brown skin, and she was asking me. I told her that I had launched my business, that I, you know, that I'm running this this recruitment services as an independent. I'm coaching and all that, and I'm offering my services as an HR consultant. And she just asked me, like, I mean, how are you doing it? I mean, do clients really come to you? Because honestly, I fear like racism so much that that's the reason why I never started my business. And I worked for big companies like Adeco, big groups and so on. But when it comes to starting my business and being the face of the company in this country, I cannot do it. Even though my husband is you know, a Swiss and all that with the right connections, I just, you know. And so I have to say, like, I'm not put down by this. I know, thank God I still have, I still manage to find clients, you know, word of mouth, people who've come to me through connections, and they've been happy with the services and they recommend me to their folks. But I could, I cannot say honestly that I have enough clients to sustain myself in this country in the long term. And it doesn't have to do with my qualifications or my abilities, but it's mostly because I'm just not the right type of person that people want to work to do business with. So I'm looking at my options. I have to look at my options to make ends meet, to be honest.
I get it. It's no different over here. I totally understand. Orphis, thank you for breaking the silence around abuse. Thank you for breaking that taboo. Taboo is not okay anymore. This is what we do over here. Now, what is your website or Linktree or something to reach out to you? I'm going to share it here on the screen. So say it.
So here you have... right, here it is. So this is my website.
So Linktree, yes, HR Solutions SA.
Yes, exactly. I prefer, like, when you went on through this link, you will see that there's different themes, different type of services that I offer. You have also a link to my podcast in English and French. If you want to talk about toxic work environments, or just, you know, see what other people are experiencing as well. If you're a manager and if you actually want to make your workplace a better place, I would say follow us on that podcast. We have some really good tools, advice for you to really thrive as an employer and as a leader. And if you're in a career transition and you want to really step out of your situation and really find your way, I'm a certified also with a certified coach with Nova Global. So it's a tool that I use to really to pull out your profile with your, you know, and understand truly who you are as a person, like your values, your motivation, and your personality type, the kind of environment that works for you, and all of that. So with this profile, to be honest, I really won a lot of confidence in terms of like defending myself in front of employers as well. Because yes, I'm self-employed, but I'm also like working part-time. And so I'm not afraid to say who I am. I'm not afraid to receive a no from an interviewer because they're not happy with who I am or not happy with my personality. I prefer to receive a no and to be okay with who I am rather than, you know, shutting down, being depressed, and going to this circle of, you know, this toxic work environment. And so I pick my employers. I pick my employers, and I, yes, like I said, I'm an entrepreneur. I have my business, and I also pick my clients. So if I find a client who's abusive, I prefer to get out of this situation. Yes, I will lose some money. yes, I'm a startup and I have to look for clients, but I prefer to work with good clients and with clients who actually treat me bad. Yeah,
of course, because your health is first. Your health comes first.
Exactly. So I cannot say, like I said earlier, that my business alone is helping me make ends meet, but I have found a way to complement my, you know, my income and to arrange my life in a way that I can breathe, you know, that I can breathe and live. Because when I got out of that, this work environment, I remember being in this environment, being so tired, being so drained emotionally that I couldn't actually do anything. You know, I couldn't think straight, and I had to study for my exams. I had, you know, the brevet fédéral, the Swiss federal diploma. I was studying for that in the middle of all of this. So I had my health issues. I was working full time, and I was studying for my Swiss federal diploma. Thank God I was able to pass. Thank God I was able to get my to get compensation from the company to get out of this work environment and get my work back on track, to get my life back on track and starting my own business. And I did all of that in a year and a half. Okay. So I'm just saying things are possible. And I also asked for help. I was able to get coaching. Like I said, I asked for external coaching. I asked also for support from a psychiatrist, you know, like just to handle the big stuff because it's hard.
Thank you, Orfis, for sharing, for breaking the silence, for stopping that taboo and telling things the way you have experienced them. I have experienced something similar to you in different ways, but similar as well. And I know that it is not necessarily different here in the US. So what I understand is that we all have to build that self-love, self-confidence, self-esteem, because we're not going to get it from outside. We have to have it inside, regardless how we look like, who we are, and what happens. We just know we are great and we believe in ourselves. Therefore, as a mirror image, others start to believe in ourselves too and give us a chance to show who we are and how we can help. Wow. Thank you so, so much for being here today.
My pleasure. Thank you for the opportunity to share my story. I really appreciate it. And I know for me, it takes a lot of courage to actually talk about my story, but I know it's going to help people. And I'm so happy to hear from you. If you're going through some hard stuff, feel free to reach out, really.
Definitely. In French, in English, and what two other languages do you speak to?
Yes, I speak Spanish and Mandarin, but I have to say, like, to work, I would say I can work in French, English, and Spanish as well.
Okay.
Mandarin, it's a bit tough one. It's a tough one there.
But you can understand if you read something or if you hear someone, you can actually connect.
Yes, of course. Yes.
Absolutely. All right. Thank you, Orfis. Have an amazing day.
Have a good day. Thank you. Bye.